The Acts of the Holy Apostles, I desire that we read chapter 21, 7 verses from the beginning for the strengthening of our faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had lunched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade the burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts and minds in a worship of prayer and praise to His name. Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee, seeking the privilege and the grace, O Lord, to partake of that great and wonderful glorification of Thy holy name, to participate in honoring and worshiping Thee with the multitudes of the heavenly hosts and with all Thy redeemed ones upon the face of this earth. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, prepare our souls, our hearts and minds, and make us ready in the beauty of Thy holiness to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we know not all our needs, and we see that we are far away from the wonderful, even glorious examples of faithfulness, true godliness, zeal, and that ever-glowing and burning flame of love that was in the hearts of Thy early disciples. And yet, O Heavenly Father, because Thou wast and Thou art so gracious and so loving to give of Thy Spirit into our weak hearts and to grant us this blessed and wonderful word of Thine, this manna from above, the living bread that is giving life to everyone that is partaking of it. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we ask that Thou in Thy great love and mercy, and we ask it, O Heavenly Father, in the name of our blessed Redeemer, that Thou in Thy great love and mercy hear our prayer. For we pray for us, the few that are gathered here around Thy holy word, and for all the loved ones far and near, for every heart that Thou hast cleansed from sin, for every soul that thou hast redeemed, O Lord. Gather thy people today under the wings of thy mercy. And let us all share in thy goodness and grace, O Lord. Sanctify thou us, O Heavenly Father. Purify our feelings, emotions, and affections. Forgive us our many weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings. Forgive us every disobedience. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, only relying on thy goodness and mercy, only in the name of our blessed Redeemer, we can freely and openly acknowledge before thee that we are not worthy of thy great love, that we are unworthy of the wonderful name of thy children and the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. For in many things we offend many times. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we ask for thy forgiveness. Grant us purity of heart and make our soul free, free from vanity, pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Make us free from bitterness, human fear, unbelief, mistrust. Make us free, O Heavenly Father, from bitterness, anger, wrath, vengeance. O Lord, grant us purity and holiness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Holy Father, as thou art holy, make us holy in Christ also. As thou art righteous, make us righteous also. As thou art patient and strong, O Lord God Almighty, make thou us patient and strong. Gracious and loving Lord God Almighty, make thou us also gracious and loving. In everything, O Father, grant us obedience to thy will. And in our obedience, bless us that we grow toward true faithfulness. And then in faithfulness, O Lord, grant us that wonderful zeal that thou hast given to thy holy apostles and to all the disciples on the day of Pentecost, that we also may proclaim the message of thy truth, that we may spread the good news, O Heavenly Father, for the day is closing. The time is short. Make us thou busy in thy service, O Lord, for soon the door will be closed, and soon the people will turn away their ears from thy word, as we see them doing that even now. Lord God Almighty, help us thou to help one another. Make us strong in faith, that we could also encourage the others in this most holy faith in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith in thee, O Father, the Almighty, just, righteous, merciful, and the only Savior, God, eternal Creator, glorious Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with thy love. May that love of thine, O Lord, that has opened the heaven The same love that has opened our hearts and minds to understand Thy Scripture. The same love, O Heavenly Father, that adorned the dying lips of Thy martyrs with the name of Christ. May that love be always in our hearts, that with the same love we can warm up, encourage, and strengthen the hearts of Thy children far and wide, and especially those that are together. O Thou Holy One, Thou All Gracious One, fill our hearts with that blessed hope that soon Thou wilt come in glory to gather Thine elect ones, Thy redeemed ones, Thine preserved ones. O Thou King of Kings and Lord of Lords, may that blessed hope keep us in expectation of that glorious and wonderful day when Thou, the only judge above all judges, Thou that never makest any mistake, wilt spell the end of sin and woe. O Father, grant us that pure, holy attitude of faith, love, and hope, that awareness of Thy coming, and that zeal and eagerness to serve Thee, to love Thee, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to worship Thee with gratitude and praise, to worship Thee, O Father, in true holiness. O display Thou the beauty of Thy holy word, the beauty of Thy holiness, O Lord. As in the days of old, the Ark of the Covenant was in the wilderness, sparkling with the beauty of Thy holiness, and the voice of Thine was heard from among the cherubims from the mercy seat. May Thy holy word, O Lord, be blessed and powerful in our lives, that in the midst of this world that is a spiritual wilderness, O Lord, Thy blessed word, the Holy Gospel, the New Testament sealed by the blood of our blessed Redeemer, this precious message that Thou hast sent to us, O Father, may that holy word of Thine flow as the fountain of life, flowing through our hearts and minds, giving wisdom, preserving modesty, giving strength, and keeping us meek and humble, giving loving kindness to us, and yet making us firm and strong, never wavering nor shaking for the fear of man. Holy Father, may the power of Thy Spirit be manifested in our lives also, and in the lives of all of Thy children. Gracious Lord, smite the evil one. Teach us to resist the devil so that he must flee from us. Blessed Lord, make us faithful and make us fruitful. And Thou grant us, O Lord, peace that passeth human understanding, peace of Thy forgiveness, peace of that safety in which Thou art keeping our souls, peace of that security, trusting in Thy holy name. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant us joy of Thy salvation as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that our heart and mind may be up there where our treasure is, with Thee, our blessed Redeemer, with their Heavenly Father in the realms of glory, peace and joy forevermore. Oh, may that joy of thy salvation fill our souls and radiate from our lives. May our manners and our attitude be filled with the presence of Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords, as thou art reigning in that heavenly glory, oh, may thy kingdom be in our hearts also. Exalt the name of the Savior. Manifest the power of thy Spirit and glorify thy holy name, O Lord. For this is thy glory and the honor of thine, to take the most miserable sinners and create from them the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, the disciples of thy Holy Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellow believers of the holy apostles. Oh, how great and wonderful is thy treasure! How precious are thy gifts! How abundant thy blessings, O Lord! Spread the wings of thy mercy and cover our defenseless spirit, and make us one in Christ, one in the spirit of love and peace, true holiness and zeal for thy name. Gracious Lord, much more than we can pray for, thou grant from the abundance of thy heavenly treasures, O Lord God Almighty, heal the sick, strengthen the weak, comfort the sad and raise the dead, and gather thy people from every nation, and fulfill thy holy promises, and complete the number of the redeemed ones. And then, O Lord God Almighty, come and take us to be with thee. Fulfill thy holy word to the glory and honor of thy holy name, for the salvation of thy children, that thy kingdom may grow in glory, that thy will may be done and completed, for thou art King of kings and Lord of lords. To thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever. Amen. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, I desire that we read from the same chapter, starting with the verse number 8. To the verse number 16. U našem drugom čitanju, ljubazni, želim da čitamo iz iste glave, Dela apostolska, glava 21, od 8. do 16. stiha, da pročitamo nama za nauku i utehu našim dušama. The Acts 21:8-16. And the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that oweth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem at the for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. This far I desire that we read in our second reading this morning, with the help of our Heavenly Father. Perhaps, beloved, sometimes when we read these verses, we just pass over, not realizing how important lessons the Lord is giving us in these words, in this Word of God, which is, in a way, the history of the activities, the ministry of the Holy Apostles. We can see that the Apostle Paul is on his way, he's journeying toward Jerusalem, and along that journey he stops at diverse places where there are believers. Apparently we don't see much preaching to the unbelievers or to the Jews, but mainly confirming the souls of the disciples in this holy faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, we read from the beginning of the chapter 21, and had lunched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, or Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and launched at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. We read, beloved, these were areas, Kos, Rhodes, Patara, Phoenicia, and the other names, geographical points along Paul's journey. I wonder if there were no disciples, no believers, or perhaps in those areas there was nothing that happened that would have been important for us to be recorded here for our instruction. The We read here that the ship took some longer time in Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden, and there Paul the Apostle and the group that was with him, the fellow believers and co-workers in spreading the gospel, they found the disciples and tarried there 7 days. 7 days, Paul and the group of the disciples that were with him remained in this one area. Obviously, there was something to be done, something to be accomplished before the final departure of Paul. It seemed to me that after this meeting, these disciples had no other opportunity to fellowship with Paul and to receive any benefit from his service other than reading his epistles. So, Here in Tyre or Tyra, the disciples, local disciples, fellowshipped, prayed, listened to the preaching of the Apostle Paul and perhaps some other ones that were with him for 7 days. In the meantime, during those 7 days, these disciples said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Why? I think it was in the chapter 19 or 20. That's chapter 20 that Paul determined, verse 16, to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And now in this other area, Paul remained 7 days. Apparently, the ship was there 7 days. And yet, it will be difficult to understand the Acts of the Holy Apostles without believing that the Lord Himself had His own program and He arranged for the things the way they should be arranged. And the Lord had the evangelists of Paul's group record all the things that were so necessary for our teaching, our understanding. From Miletus, verse 17 of the chapter 20. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and so on. And then in the verse number 22, Paul says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not chance to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so on. Now verse 22, 23, and 24 tell us clearly that Paul was led by the Spirit of God to go to Jerusalem and to be there for the time of a great trouble. A lot of suffering, a lot of persecution. The ministry of Paul the Apostle for that period of time that is just ahead, just coming soon, that period of time was different than the preceding period of his ministry. From now, or from that moment on, Paul is going to serve the Lord as a prisoner. Before that, he was persecuted. He was chased from city to city. He was hunted by the Jews, and yet he was a free man. He was walking among the people. He was preaching freely. And as he was persecuted in one city, he would just escape to the next one and continue preaching there. And soon, he would come back to that first city and preach again there. And after he was imprisoned, and after he was tortured, and after he suffered so much, he would come back to the disciples and comfort the disciples. Because he himself was comforted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by that Spirit of God, Spirit of grace and peace, love and zeal, purity and holiness. Now, if Paul was bound in the Spirit to go unto Jerusalem, how could the disciples in Tyre, here in the chapter 21, verse 4, how could these disciples, how should we understand this? Once again, in chapter 20, verse 22, Paul says, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." How can then be that in the chapter 21, verse 4, we find the disciples, the faithful ones apparently, talking to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem? Are there two spirits? Could be that the same Spirit is giving opposing or contradicting messages? What is really going on here? I try to understand that. And may the Lord help all of us and give to each one the understanding how this is possible. Do we remember in the days when there was at least some peace, some love, some understanding among the disciples of our generation? And when there was a gathering from more congregations into one place, that sometimes it took a minute or two before one of the visiting brothers would stand up and read the Word of God. Because each one felt by the Spirit of the Lord that he is not the one that should stand up and preach, because there are the others. Each one preferring one another in honor. And the disciples in this place that we read about in chapter 21, verse 4, probably had the feeling that the ministry of Paul is very necessary. There are so many things to be done. And that a disciple, an apostle like Paul, by his departure or his imprisonment, will leave a big gap in their churches, in their congregations. I think, beloved, that listing all the spiritual needs, their needs for Paul's ministry, and pointing to the fact that there is so much work to be done, the disciples were talking, reasoning spiritually, having only partial understanding of the whole program of God. All the prophets that proclaimed the Word of God knew only the message that was given to them. None of them knew everything. And here we see that one side or one message or one part of the message was revealed to these disciples. Yes, there is still so much work to be done. Only, it could have been the case that these disciples knew not that the Apostle Paul was going to continue his work with even greater zeal, working as a prisoner. And probably, short time after that, they read Paul's epistles to the other churches and were strengthened, admonished. And the need, the spiritual need of their soul, was taken care of. I think that this is a very important lesson for all of us and for all the believers, that we should not clench the Spirit, that we should not despise the prophecy, and that none of us should think that we can stand in the place of God. The disciples share what is revealed to them, and then they leave to the Lord to guide each heart, to illuminate each mind, to take care of each soul. We are not lords to one another. As our Lord and Savior said, that He is the Master and we are all the brethren. Now, as they talk to Paul, apparently, Paul had not changed his mind. I heard some of the people trying to explain this, and they believe that Paul made a bad mistake, and that's why he had to suffer so much in Jerusalem. See, there are so many that would like to understand the grace of God as an effortless, take it easy way of living and serving the Lord. I don't think, beloved, that we are going to be or will have to be in the hottest battle every moment of our life. Yet there are moments of rest, peace, and ease, but usually, beloved, they don't last long. If we serve the Lord, we are going to have many and very frequent and occasionally very difficult battles and strifes. But the Lord gives strength and comfort and peace again. So, nothing changed the mind of the Apostle Paul. And in the verse number 5 we read, "And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed." These disciples that talked to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem, they went together with Paul all the way outside the city. And there, before Paul got aboard the ship, they kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You see, these were faithful disciples, not those that enjoy or cherish hard-headedness, stubbornness, self-will, and hypocrisy. They were sincere, they were honest, they were faithful. And they relied on the power of the Lord. They shared what they felt in their hearts. And in that sharing, they were spiritual, not carnal, not selfish. But also, they relied on the Lord's power, that He will, in His wisdom, take care of everything. So they prayed together, and they parted from one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, in love and peace. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. When we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. And the next day, that we that were of Paul's company departed, and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and we abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. How is that? Where did these sisters in Christ, apparently young in age, young in their years, where, when, and what did they prophesy? To whom did they prophesy? Obviously, beloved, whenever we read the Word of God, it's a prophecy. For prophecy was the Word of God. Sometimes prophecy was predicting or foretelling the future. Sometimes reminding the listeners of the past times. Sometimes correcting and often chastising. So we can think that these virgins were very zealous and very gifted in sharing the Word of God. They were not only listeners, they were not only, which is a great gift, doers of the will of the Lord, they also were evangelists like their father, Philip. They proclaimed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in every opportunity, every convenient or perhaps sometimes inconvenient moment. I think, beloved, this was a great gift and a blessing and a wonderful grace of the Lord, seeing that there were young sisters not thinking, not being preoccupied with their earthly future, but being busy and zealous in the Word of God. What an example. I wonder how often we read about that and how many times this is heard in our churches. Or perhaps it was something that the people would just read and kind of shy away from it, not being willing to face the facts that might not be welcomed by some believers. I think, beloved, that we should proclaim the Word of God and that we should practice the Word of God regardless how many or how few will there be that will support that. Because when we are with the Lord, we belong to that great majority, to the faithful ones. And when we are not with the Lord, we are in a serious danger to be on the way of destruction. And that's a different majority. Perhaps majority in numbers, for so many don't believe the gospel. But again, it's much better to be with the Lord. So, we read further. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, first we can see here that in the first years or decades of the New Testament teaching, some of the Old Testament prophets were still in the ministry. They were still prophesying, still proclaiming the word of God. Or perhaps we can think that this prophet, Agabus, was one of those that were already among the fellowship of the New Testament believers, and serving as a prophet, he was still prophesying as the prophets of old. Now, when we read in the book of Acts, about the prophets and teachers in Antioch, that's Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and so on, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Here, there were some prophets and some ministers or teachers, and the Holy Spirit ministered to them and brought to them or revealed to them the message of the Lord, and they knew what the will of the Lord is for their future. So they acted accordingly. They obeyed the word of God. So what happened? Here, one of the prophets named Agabus came to the place where Paul the apostle was, into the house of Philip the evangelist and his four daughters that prophesied in Caesarea, and not only with words but in deeds prophesied. He took this prophet took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Now when that prophecy was proclaimed, we read here in the verse number 12, "When we heard these things, both we of the Paul's group, and they of that place, besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." And what happened? They started weeping. They tried to convince Paul with words. That didn't work. Then they started weeping and begging him not to go to Jerusalem. And the answer from Paul was, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart?" You see, with their weeping, they tried to influence him. They tried to break his heart. To make him, to compel him to go along with their understanding and to stop him from going to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, "I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And they listened to that, these disciples that were more up to convincing or persuading Paul not to go to Jerusalem than the preceding ones in the verse number 4. Even these disciples When they understood, they realized that it is the will of the Lord for Paul to go to Jerusalem, and that that will of the Lord is revealed to Paul, and because Paul does understand the will of the Lord as it has been revealed to him, they cannot persuade Paul to go in any other direction. Then, when he would not be persuaded, we stopped, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." How important that is to understand that the Spirit of the Lord is working in the hearts of those that believe Him sincerely and honestly. In the hearts of those that are washed from sin and made free in Christ. How important it is, beloved, that we understand that we are not masters of one another's life, that we are only brothers and sisters in Christ. How important it is that we submit ourselves, regardless of the place and level of our ministry, whether we be elders, ministers, members, friends, or just beginners, that we submit to the will of the Lord, and that we say, as these disciples did, "The will of the Lord be done." On the other hand, how dangerous and how ungodly it is when we try to force one another, to compel one another, and to push one another in the direction that the Lord is not guiding each one. Just because we believe that that is the will of the Lord, it does not necessarily have to be the will of God. Now, beloved, we have the Word of God. We have the instruction. We have the encouragement. We have correction. And yes, we have chastisement also. But that's the way we serve the Lord and minister to one another. We share the Word of God. We express our feeling, our understanding, or even lack of understanding, or insufficient understanding, partial understanding. We share what we receive from the Lord, what we find in the Word of God, and then we leave that to the Lord to guide each soul and each heart. I would love, beloved, that we have here and growing congregation, that our number multiplies, that we serve the Lord and praise the Lord as a wonderful choir. Would that be a great community of believers? Oh, how wonderful that looks and seems to be. But we don't know. We don't know what the Lord has in store for us. It may be that very soon some of us will not be here around. We don't know how long we are going to live. We don't know where the Lord is guiding and leading. He will reveal that to us. There is only one answer to everything. The will of the Lord be done. He knows. Perhaps Philip the evangelist loved to live in Jerusalem, but he had to run away. Perhaps he would rather preach to Hebrews than to Samaritans, but the Lord wanted him to preach to Samaritans. I am very sure, beloved, that Philip wanted all those that asked for baptism to be very truly prepared and ready, real converts. And yet there had to be a Simon the magician that was baptized and yet still a sinner, not repented, not converted. I believe, beloved, that Philip rejoiced in seeing Samaritans believing, and perhaps as a man he might have a good time for a while in Samaria, but the Spirit of the Lord took him away to Gaza, to the desert, to wilderness, And there he preached to the eunuch of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And the eunuch was baptized. And I imagine, beloved, as every believer, that the eunuch would enjoy a company of believers. But the will of the Lord was that he goes back to his country, one alone, and there that he himself proclaimed the word of God. The will of the Lord be done is the best. So, let us pray and fast. Let us focus our heart and mind on the will of the Lord, and let us pray that He reveal His will to us, that He guide us and protect us, and that we serve Him and Him alone. Oh yes, we should. We should pay attention to one another's feeling, to one another's opinion, but the will of the Lord be done. We should be kind to one another, and the salvation is in the multitudes of counselors only if everyone is obedient to the Lord. Remember that prophet from the land of Judah that cursed the altar of King Jeroboam, and the prophet was told not to delay. As soon as he has done his mission, his assignment, rush back to the land of Judah. But he was tired and he rested under a tree. And another prophet from the land of Israel came and lied to him. Why would that prophet lie? I don't know. I know that that lie didn't come from the Lord, but from the enemy. And because this prophet from the land of Judah obeyed or listened or yielded to the voice of the prophet from the land of Israel and did not keep the Lord's commandment, he perished. And so shall everyone that relies on man. So let us lean on the word of God, obey the Lord and trust Him. And if for that purpose we have to suffer, that's the will of the Lord also. So, may His will be done, that His kingdom may come, for His is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen.